Hey friends, thank you so very much for tuning in to the SGT Report podcast. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. Are you making full use of your savings? Think of the times you've yearned for better returns. After real inflation, which is now close to 8%, taxes, etc., are you even making a profit? With food, clothing, and rent all more than doubling over the last 10 years, you need to do something different. Gambling on stocks might lose you a lot. And of course, wouldn't it be great to retire stress-free? A precious metals IRA with Noble Gold just might be the answer. And this month, Noble Gold is gifting a genuine rare Carson City minted Morgan Silver dollar with every qualifying IRA or 401k. These coins were around when an ounce of silver was worth an actual dollar. An 1893 example in mint condition is now worth around $3,250. This is the power of long-term precious metals investing. So get in touch with the experts at Noble Gold and talk through your options today. That's noblegoldinvestments.com.
Many of these commodity markets have been oversold on the short side. And how were those funded? Those contracts were funded with basically credit, borrowed money. So once the credit market breaks, you're going to find the things that were held up by credit are going to collapse, and the things that were held down by credit are going to explode. And just use the number 300. If you've got 300 ounces of silver, of paper silver sold for every one real ounce, what will that do to the price?
Hey friends, Sean from SGT Report here. Thank you so much for tuning in. That was Bill Holter. And in this interview, we're going to explain how the incompetence of Joe Biden is leading to the death of the dollar. It's pretty much a lock at this point because Putin has called Biden's bluff. And stay tuned. In this interview, I also explain how, because of the paper manipulation of silver, you can get 46 times more physical silver for 10 days of your labor than a Roman soldier was able to get for those same 10 days of labor. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. Just because the world is in chaos doesn't mean your finances should be. Invest in cryptocurrency with mydigitalmoney.com. You can buy and sell crypto in your crypto IRA to enjoy tax advantages or trade in cash. No need for multiple platforms. All your crypto investing needs in one platform. MyDigitalMoney.com also has U.S.-based phone support. You can call MyDigitalMoney.com for help or any questions, and you'll get a real live human being to talk to right here in the United States. Go to MyDigitalMoney.com. That's MyDigitalMoney.com. Hey, friends. Sean from SGT Report here. Thanks so much for tuning in for the end of the world. Well, I say that tongue-in-cheek, but boy, it sure seems like some major things are in play here, which could bring about the death of the dollar. And to that end, I wanted to get back on the line Bill Holter from JS Mindset. Bill, it's been far too long since we spoke, but I think it's very timely since you're sort of my go-to economy guy.
Thanks for having me, Sean.
All right, let's talk a little bit about what's happening right now. We'll start with a screen share. It's a pretty epic screen share. If people don't understand how in trouble we are, well, here's the U.S. national debt clock. We're now north of $30 trillion in stated U.S. debt. That doesn't include unfunded liabilities, of course. And it doesn't include the 2023 budget that was just proposed by Sleepy Creepy Joe of the Biden crime family. $5.8 trillion budget next year. Bill, what could possibly go wrong?
Well, that $5.8 trillion budget is going to leave us with a deficit of, pick a number, probably another 1.5 trillion. It's not payable. And what that didn't show are all the guarantees that the U.S. Treasury has outstanding, like Ginnie Mae, Freddie and Fannie, Medicare, Medicaid. When you add all those in, you're talking about a $200 trillion debt. And that is simply it's not payable. And the only way it can be paid is to print more and destroy the purchasing power of the dollar. Right. It cannot pay it back in terms of dollars with current purchasing power.
Well, let me ask you something. Since you and I know that's the case, and they know it's the case, explain to me why anybody should continue to pay federal income tax when they just print the stuff out of thin air, because they want a $6 trillion budget next year. And you know how they're going to pay for it? They want to raise the corporate tax from 20 to 28%. And they want to raise the highest marginal taxation rate from like 38 to 40% or whatever it is, 36 to 39%. It's kind of a moral question at this point. Should we pay taxes to a criminal government that prints the stuff out of thin air?
Well, I mean, that's been a question now for years. And I have thought for a few years now that when we get to the end of the road, and we can see the end of the road. At some point in time, I thought, and I still believe, there's going to be an uprising where people say, I'm not going to pay taxes. And if you get, if there's enough people doing that, I mean, how do they enforce it if millions of people just turn their backs and say, I'm not paying? I mean, the question originally arose if the Fed can just print whatever they want and the Treasury can just borrow whatever they want and they say that deficits don't matter, then why impose taxes? Why not just print the money?
Well, that's a logical question a logical person would ask. And if you don't think this is all coordinated, in my view, by the Biden crime family and the administration that's absolutely criminal, the plan to kill the dollar seems to be going very well as Putin signs a decree ordering gas exports to be halted if buyers don't pay in rubles. That's kind of a big deal, Bill, isn't it?
I've been in the business world now for right at 40 years. This news is the biggest financial news that's come out during my career. You'd have to go back to 1973 to get financial news as big. And of course, 1973 was when Kissinger got the Saudis and the oil producing nations to agree to accept only dollars for their oil trade. And what that did basically was it created massive demand for dollars, because that any oil that was purchased had to be settled in dollars. And if a country didn't have dollars, what they had to do was they had to go out and they had to sell their currency to buy dollars. So that created huge demand for the dollar. Now, what this does, it's, if you want to call it the reverse, it's cutting the knees out from under the dollar, because now there's going to be less demand for dollars, but it also creates huge demand for rubles. And if you could put a chart up of what the ruble's done since before the war started, then the initial move was an absolute destruction of the ruble. It was down more than 50%. And as of now, we've pretty much round tripped almost back to where it was. I think that chart is lagging because I think it's closer to where it was. Now, in addition to demanding rubles or gold or oil or for gas, in addition to that, Russia or Putin has decreed that Russia will pay 5,000 rubles for any and all gold that anyone wants to sell to them. What that does is it puts a floor under it. And when it was announced last week, if you did the math, it worked out to be about $1,450 gold. If you do the math now, after another week's worth of recovery in the ruble, you're looking right at about $1,900 on gold. What I think you're going to see going forward from here is as the ruble strengthens, which means the dollar weakens, I think this is going to be the catalyst that goes gold through the 2070 level, and who knows where it goes. It all depends on how weak the dollar gets and how strong the ruble gets.
Yeah.
And one other thing, Sean, this was a if you want to equate this to a poker game, this is basically a call, if you will, on the West. The call being, you can pay in gold, and we'll soon find out who has gold, who doesn't have gold. And obviously rubles are going to have to be purchased, because you can't, the amount of gold outstanding and available for purchase is a finite amount. So it just looks to me that you'll see the price of gold go much higher, and that will be pushed by the bid of 5,000 rubles.
I'm also looking at the Russian stock market chart, and you'll recall when this whole thing broke out in Ukraine, the Russian stock market was crushed somewhat, 98%, something absolutely ridiculous. And I said, this is what the Rothschilds love to do. They'll be in buying the bottom, just like they did during the Battle of Waterloo. And I think that's exactly what happened. I called it, but was I smart enough to get in there and buy myself? No, of course not. Take a look at this chart. It's bouncing back. I don't even know if that chart's accurate. It's probably bounced back more than that. But in the last 5 days, it's up some, 21%, I think the chart says.
Right. But their market was closed for a couple, 3 weeks, I believe. I don't think it traded at all. So there should be a gap in that chart. And I don't see a gap. Sean, you had the right idea by stepping up to buy, but you really didn't have the ability to do that until just a couple, 2 or 3 days ago.
How about these currency traders on the Forex? Absolutely killing it by buying the ruble at the bottom. How many billions and billions were made on that trade?
Well, you're asking how many billions were made on that trade. Remember, there's two sides to every trade. So there's an equal amount of losses. And we still don't know where those are.
Yeah, that brings me to the nickel market. You want to talk about a fixed market and an absolute testimony to the criminality of a market that's fixed with paper. Look at what happened with the LME in the nickel market. And you tell me there's not some correlation there with what could, should, and ought to happen in the silver market, which is equally paper challenged, to put it mildly.
Well, both silver and gold on the COMEX. I think the numbers out last night that are standing for delivery for April are 78 tons. I mean, you're talking each and every month, even last month was 36 tons, and that was a non-delivery month. And what happens is they come out with the amount standing, and it used to be that number would bleed down. Now what's happening is they come out with whatever standing, and by the end of the month, it's usually much more. So it looks to be like there's a cash call on the COMEX. What happened with nickel, there was a short that was actually larger than the amount of nickel available. So, I mean, that's gross mismanagement on the part of the exchange. And if you remember, when nickel went from 50,000 to 100,000, that Monday, all of those trades were canceled. So there was like $4 or $5 billion worth of trades that just got canceled out. So if you were a winner, you lost your winnings. If you were a loser, you didn't lose. That shows right there the problem of, if you want to call it a failure to deliver, I mean, there was no way for the short to deliver, because there was not that amount of nickel available to deliver. So it shows you right in your face how badly these markets are bastardized by paper. And when all is said and done, I think you're going to see futures markets be way scaled back, because it's obvious that the tail has been wagging the dog. You know, this is stuff you and I've talked about for 5, 6, 7 or more years. But I believe it's here. I believe you saw it in nickel, and with what Putin is doing with demanding gold or rubles for gas, it is going to break the paper exchanges, and it's going to ultimately break the dollar.
Yeah, we've been talking about this for so long. We've been waiting for the event to happen. I'm talking specifically about the back of the COMEX being broken and silver to vault to its real world value, which is many multiples higher than $25 an ounce. And the closest we've gotten is what happened in the nickel market. It does send the signal to traders around the world that there's a problem and there's an opportunity in physical. Like, the smartest guys in the room must be having conversations about this. And meanwhile, over at the CFTC, we're down to one commissioner. We're down to one person who's supposed to be the arbiter of truth and legality and honesty on these paper markets. And that's Rustam Benham, who bragged about tamping down the price of silver when the Wall Street silver crowd started to vault the price higher by acquiring physical. So again, the whole system's fixed and the CFTC is down to one guy, Ross Benham, who brags about tamping down the price of silver.
Well, you're right. He admitted that publicly. And when he talked about tamping down the price, I mean, that's admission that it's not a free market. And Sean, you're talking about $25 silver. You can't get silver at $25. I mean, even for 100-ounce bars, you're talking about $29. You're talking about almost $40 now. There's a $13 or $14 premium over spot for U.S. Eagles. So looking at a COMEX spot of $25 versus what it actually costs you to get metal in your hands, that discrepancy is getting wider and wider. And, you know, at some point in time, that rubber band snaps.
Yeah, well, as I've said so many times before, the way the price is treated due to COMEX paper manipulation, JP Morgan, Bank of America, all the paper, some days 1.2, 1.5 billion ounces of paper silver being traded in the market, which is more than all of the silver mined in a year. I mean, we should remind people, there's only 700 to 800, maybe 850, 900 million ounces of physical silver mined on this planet in a year. And these guys sell more than that in paper in a day. It makes it feel as though it's not a precious metal, but it really is. It's so valuable. It's so hard to find. Go try to dig it out of your backyard. Go to Target, go to Walmart, ask them where the silver and gold are. Go to your bank and ask them, can I trade this fiat $100 bill for $100 worth of silver? They don't have any. And guess what? They don't even have the fiat in the safe at the bank to back up all of the deposits they have at the bank.
Right.
The whole
system. Not even close.
The whole system's paper.
Yeah. Of that 800 million ounces that you mentioned are mined each year, over 70% of that is actually used. When I say used, it's gone. It's used in electronics. It's used in medical applications. It's used in solar. It gets used. It's not. Silver and gold are different, whereas most of the gold that's ever been mined is still above ground, and most of the silver that's ever been mined is sitting in landfills and old computers. I mean, you name it. But, you know, silver obviously has industrial uses, has medicinal uses. It's viewed as money. So that 800 million ounces per year figure is kind of a misnomer, because that's certainly not available for purchase. And if you look at even at $30, that 800 million is only $24 billion, which is, in today's world, $24 billion is nothing.
Well, that's exactly right. And I've said it a million times. If you take a billion, let's say it's a billion ounces of silver mined in a year at $25 an ounce, Jeff Bezos has more than enough money, or Elon Musk has more than enough money to theoretically buy the entire world's mining supply with $25 billion, $30 billion. I mean, it's just
for several years, Sean.
That's the absurdity of the paper fixed price. It does not reflect the energy and effort it takes at this point to get the stuff out of the ground, in my view. And it certainly doesn't reflect the debasement of our currency and the historic quantifiable value of silver. Let me flush that out. The average Roman soldier was paid 1/10 ounce of silver per day. So it took 10 days for that Roman soldier to earn one troy ounce of silver. So how screwed up is a $25 silver price in the year 2022? Let me explain. Our 15-year-old son just got a job at a restaurant as a dishwasher making $16 an hour because nobody wants to be a dishwasher. So these restaurants are desperate. So our son works six-hour shifts, and over the course of those 6 hours, he makes $96. Over the course of 10 days, that's 960 fiat US dollars. Well, $960 divided by a silver price of 26 is 36.9 ounces of physical silver from being a dishwasher in a restaurant versus one troy ounce of silver for being a Roman soldier for 10 days labor. And we'll flush it out further because I know people are saying, well, you can't get silver for 26. That's just the paper price, which is true. So $960 divided by 40 is 24 ounces of physical silver for a 15-year-old dishwasher versus a Roman soldier who got one troy ounce of silver for, by the way, 10 hard days of labor as a Roman soldier, not six-hour shifts as a dishwasher. And to back up what I'm saying, let's go to sdbullion.com right now, one of the sponsors of SGT Report, and take a look at what it costs to buy physical silver. Oh, look, American Silver Eagles, 40 bucks an ounce. $40 an ounce, Bill.
Right, which is it's over a 50% premium over the spot price.
Well, let me ask you this. I had on Sam Bushman from the CSPOA the other day, and I asked him about this problem. I asked him about the death of the dollar. I asked him about states' rights. He talks about constitutional states, which is great. I said, what about state secession? I mean, at what point should states break away from this criminal federal government that is in the process of destroying our currency, our money, the dollar? Or better yet, at what point should states, constitutional states, start to print their own money issued by their own treasury? And I'll show you a comment I got on my podcast. I'm not sure who left me this. There's no name, but it says the Constitution in Article 2 forbids the states from creating their own currency. Well, what are we to do then? Are we just supposed to go down with a ship? Because the Biden administration is the orchestra on the deck of the Titanic playing us out as the ship sinks.
Well, Sean, I don't know how this shakes out, but I can tell you that once the dollar does start to crash and burn, that's when this will come to the forefront. That's when states will, they'll become restless. They'll group together. I mean, who knows whether, like I said, I don't know how it's going to shake out, but you could have, theoretically, you could break the country into, I don't know, 5, 6, 8 different quadrants, if you will, of states that think alike. You know, you could have California, Oregon, and Washington as one state. You could have Texas, Oklahoma, Louisiana. It just seems to me that the spark for any type of movement like that will be the dollar itself. It will be the solvency of the treasury. And as long as we're talking about solvency, if you talk about central banks, with what interest rates were zeroed out for, I don't know, 3-4 years. And now you've got interest rates around the world going higher. And for the first time in many, many years, you actually have positive rates in Japan. And just to illustrate, at a positive rate, Japan, the Bank of Japan is basically insolvent because of the losses that they've taken on all the bonds that they bought at negative yields, which are now paying 0.1 or 0.2 or what have you. So interest rates going higher is going to become a problem for all central banks. And I think all central banks are going to be scrutinized as to whether or not they're still actually a viable entity.
Hey, friends, thank you so very much for tuning in to the SGT Report podcast. Just a quick word about our sponsor. You know inflation is killing your retirement. The real rate of inflation, it's close to 8%, and it won't let you keep up or make a profit. You really need a different approach. Precious metals, which by the way has gold nearing $2,000 an ounce again, not Robin Hood or stocks that can crash and leave you losing your money, an IRA or 401k with Noble Gold just may be the answer. And this month, Noble Gold is gifting a genuine rare Carson City minted Morgan Silver dollar with every qualifying IRA or 401k. Find out more at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Guys, when you've been banned and terminated across all platforms like I've been, it buoys the spirit when you get a voicemail like this. Listen.
Yes, I'm trying to reach Sean. This is Kevin Oslin with MyPillow. I'm a sales executive here. And we'd like to advertise on your podcast.
Anyway, guys, I followed up with Kevin, and I'm very happy to report that Mike Lindell, a guy I really respect and admire, and his company MyPillow is now a sponsor of SGT Report. And all I want to say about MyPillow is that I know they make great American-made products. They employ great Americans making these products. So whether you ever need a MyPillow or Giza bed sheets or exceptionally high-quality towels or slippers or whatever, please use the SGT Report link to MyPillow. I will leave it below. And if you use coupon code SGT, you'll get a free gift with your purchase. And if you'd prefer just a call, the number for MyPillow is 1-800-655-6792. Or easier yet, just use the link below and coupon code SGT to get a free gift. Thanks so much for your support, friends.
And I think all central banks are going to be scrutinized as to whether or not they're still actually a viable entity.
Well, morally speaking, they're not viable entities. They're why we are in this jam right. To begin with, right? Look at the value of the dollar over 100 years. Thanks a lot, Federal Reserve. People don't understand how the purchasing power has been destroyed because wages, nominal wages, have gone up, but they've not gone up anywhere near the extent they need to go up to keep pace with the destruction of the dollar, meaning a dollar bought a lot more in 1914 than it does today in real world value. Which is why we see what the average, the median price of homes now in this country is what? 400,000, 350, 500? I don't know. It's off the charts. So good luck to first time home buyers who have no equity and have to save to come up with 10, 15, 20% down. The whole thing is madness. And so what will the answer be from the central banks? Digital currencies.
More of the same digital currencies. But Sean, we've talked about this for a long time and people are now seeing it with their own eyes. They're feeling it with their own pocketbooks. We said for many years that this thing would culminate with massive inflation of the things we need and massive deflation of the things we have. And if you think about when I talk about the things we have, I'm talking about stocks, I'm talking about bonds, houses, cars, you name it, things that require debt to purchase, like real estate. Now, all of a sudden, mortgage rates are back up to 5%, and they were down well below 3%. So what that does is that makes someone who 6 months ago with 2.7% mortgage rates, they would qualify for $1 million loan. Now they only qualify for $500 or $600. So what it's doing or what it's done is it's cut the legs out from underneath the potential demand for real estate. The spurt that we saw over the last year and a half, 2 years, it's over. And not only is it over, the next move is you're going to start to see foreclosures. That's going to add to supply. You're going to see much lower prices. And it just go back to 2008, 2009, and it's going to be a replay of that on steroids. And then you add in, look what's happened to the bond market with interest rates going. I mean, from what was it, a year, year and a half ago, we had what, 0.38 or something like that on a 10-year treasury. We just hit 2.5 yesterday on the 10-year treasury. And understand that bonds are the foundation. They underpin everything in the Western financial world. Debt is the foundation, and debt is going to fail, and so will the foundation. So you're looking at a collapse of asset values at the very same time that the cost of everyday goods that you need to sustain, that you need to have to live on, are exploding in price. And I mean, just the government admitting that inflation is 7.9%, I mean, that's shocking on its own, that number. But the real number is 15-20%, and maybe more.
Yeah, I'm very concerned about food inflation. And I've said that If these international criminal banksters and the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, Bill Gates, if they can't break the spirit of the American people, they'll try to starve us out. So I'm really concerned about that. But let's war game this real estate thing, because I think about this a lot. And occasionally my wife will find, you know, via the internet, some homes in Florida. She looks around for different stuff. We like Florida. We've been there several different areas. We're not very serious about buying a second home or moving down there quite yet, but a lot of people are. And a lot of people have been speculating in the real estate market, buying homes that maybe they don't need, buying homes as part of a portfolio, right, as Airbnbs, et cetera, or just buying homes, hoping to sell them a year or two later for more. And one example of that was my wife found a brand new home that has never been moved into, and I guess was purchased from the builder a year, year and a half ago for $1 million. And today they're asking $1.5 million for the same home. So that's the speculation. But the buyers are going to go away because, as you just noted, interest rates have spiked. So what happens to this real estate bubble in Florida and around the country?
Like I said earlier, just look at what happened in 2008, 2009. That's what's going to happen, only on steroids. And the reason being, you're talking bigger numbers, you're talking more debt on the real estate. I've got people that tell me, I'm going to buy something real. I want to get my money out of the banking system. I'm going to buy a piece of real estate. But what they forget is the reason real estate is priced where it is because credit was so easy to get. Yes, there have been some cash deals, but real estate is a different animal. You have taxes to pay. You have expenses on real estate. And I am on the record as saying at some point in time, and I think it's right in our immediate future, real estate is going to become seen as a liability rather than an asset. Unless it's your own primary residence that you have to have a roof over your head, many types of real estate are going to be looked at as a liability rather than an asset, like an anvil of debt around your neck.
It's really interesting, the development here that we're talking about. As interest rates spike, when you see bubbles like the one I described in Florida, really all over the country. So it will be really fascinating to watch how this all plays out, because I remember very well that real estate market collapse in 08, 09. I remember it like it was yesterday, and I'm shocked to see that the bubble has reinflated well beyond the peak of the bubble. It's well beyond the peak of the real estate bubble in 08, 09 now. They've superinflated it.
In parts, Sean. If you read last week, there was the third largest hotel in New York City, I think it's 1,700, 1,800 rooms.
Yes.
That was bought for 800 and something million back in 2006, they just sold it for $365 million. So, I mean, that's more than a 50% drop from 2006. I do want to mention, with interest rates going higher, the Fed tightening, if you go back to 1982, that was the, or 1980, 1982, that was the peak in interest rates. And they did basically nothing but go down, and then there was a tightening series in 1987. There was a tightening series in the early 90s. There was a tightening around the year 2000, and then again 2007, 2008. And what, if you look at a chart, you'll see that each time interest rates started to go higher, they were never able to get back to where the interest rates were the last time when the last bubble burst. So here we are again. Interest rates are starting to scream higher, and I don't think we have much more than 50 basis points higher. I don't think you can get a 10-year over 3% without totally collapsing the 10.
Flush that out, the bond market. Can't get over 3% on the 10. What does that mean? Why is that important?
Well, if we got to 3% on a 10, you'd probably have 5.5%, maybe even 6% rates on mortgages. And what happens is, as rates are going higher now, there's no more ability to refinance. In other words, you could refinance 6 or 8 months ago when the 10-year treasury was at 1% or 1.2, and you had mortgage rates at 3.7, 4%, you had the ability for people that had that bought a house and they ran into problems, what they could do is they could refinance, they could actually suck cash out of the transaction and keep themselves going down the road longer. With rates where they are now, there's no ability to refinance anything that's been done in the last 5 years. So whatever you have on a mortgage, you're stuck with it. Whatever real estate you have, you're stuck with it. You're going to see the volume, the turnover rate collapse because there's, frankly, there's less buyers out there that qualify for mortgages at the numbers that they're asking for real estate. I mean, the affordability index, I don't know if you have a chart of that, but the affordability index has completely crashed. And that is a precursor to a crash in the real estate market itself. And actually, if you go back and look at real estate going back in the 80s, 90s, last 20 years, every time there was a slowdown or a squeeze on volume, squeeze on transactions, price always follows volume. And volume is definitely contracting, and so will prices. And it's like Warren Buffett talks about, when the tide goes out, you get to find out who's been swimming naked. And that's where we are right now. The tide is going out. Interest rates are going up. And just to mention one other thing about interest rates, what sane person, even if the government tells you that inflation is 7.9%, what sane person would lend money for 10 years at 2.5%? I mean, you're locking in a 5% loss per year for 10 years. And that's not even accounting, if you see an overshoot on the downside with the purchasing power of the dollar.
Well, it all reminds me, too, of what Mike Maloney has predicted will eventually happen as everything returns to the mean, which is that 500 ounces of physical silver ought to be able to buy one median-priced home in the United States when things reset. And that sounds impossible because, of course, houses have risen almost exponentially in price as silver has right. continued to be kneecapped. But again, what we saw in the nickel market, if and when that happens to the silver market, it's not hard to imagine a $500 ounce of silver price. It's really not. 500 ounce, right. $500 times 500 ounces is $250,000. As the housing right. bubble deflates, it's kind of easy to see how that might be the case. 500 ounces of silver would buy $250,000 house.
Yeah, that could happen. I mean, you could have silver going higher and homes crashing in price. And yeah, that's reasonable. That is not that's not crazy talk.
All right. So we're seeing rampant food inflation. All commodities have inflated. The stuff we need to buy to survive has inflated. Everything's inflated. And I guess those of us that have been stacking silver for a decade or more are just suckers for having done so, huh? Because we'd have done better with used cars. We'd have done better with homes, storable food, ammo. Ammunition has gone through the roof. Everything we need has gone through the roof when priced in dollars, everything except for silver.
Well, Sean, silver and gold. Understand that both gold and silver have been suppressed. They've been suppressed with paper contracts. And when those break, then you're going to get a cash and carry price. And the cash price already, I mean, looking at silver, the cash price is, you really can't buy any silver under $30 at this point. So once the paper markets break, then you're going to get some real clearing. In other words, you'll find clearing prices of assets that will knock your socks off. Like you said, $500 silver sounds crazy, but understand that the stock market and the bond market have been held up with debt, whereas many of these commodity markets have been oversold on the short side. And how were those funded? Those contracts were funded with basically credit, with borrowed money. So once the credit market breaks, you're going to find the things that were held up by credit are going to collapse, and the things that were held down by credit are going to explode. And remember, on things you own, zero is a floor. On things you don't own that are going higher, infinity's the opposite of zero. And to illustrate that, I mean, look in Weimar Germany, what was it? An ounce of gold was, what, 1.7 trillion Reichmark or something like that. I mean, it was unfathomable numbers back at the time. I mean, 1.7, you're talking about basically infinity before computers came about to understand what 1.7 trillion is. In other words, when a short squeeze gets going, it won't stop until all the shorts have been covered. And in order to cover, I mean, if you've got, just use the number 300. If you've got 300 ounces of silver, of paper silver sold for every one real ounce, what will that do to the price?
Yeah. And that's my point.
It's not going to go to $50 or $100. It's going to go to a stupid number. It's going to go to a, let me just say this, Sean, gold and silver, before the dollar actually dies, gold and silver will be at numbers that no one you've ever spoken to have mentioned. The final number will be higher than anyone's ever talked about.
Well, and that's the point I wanted to make. That's the point I want to drive home. I know I sound like a broken record, and it gets a little hard to believe when the silver price never does break out of the control of these people, these Bank of America, JP Morgan, international criminal bankers, the COMEX paper manipulators. But what they've done is they have caused a paper to silver ratio, which is now, according to the usdebtclock.org, 315 ounces of paper silver for every 1 ounce of physical, and 110 ounces of gold, paper gold, to every 1 ounce of physical. What is 315 paper ounces of silver worth in the real world? The better question is, what is 1 ounce of physical silver worth in the real world when that paper charade collapses? That's what people need to understand. And right now, you got to pay $40 to get your hands on the stuff.
Right. Well, the 300 and whatever paper contracts. My partner Jim has always asked the question: what is the value of a contract that cannot perform? And the answer is zero. And Sean, you said you don't want to sound like a broken record. I would tell you, you probably shouldn't say that, because my question to you is, how many conspiracy theories do you have to be right about before people, or do we have to be right about before people realize we do have a clue?
Yeah.
I mean, think about how many things that have come to light, how much truth has come to light just in the last year or 2 years of things. Rostam Benham, for example, he came out and said that they were tamping down the price of silver. Well, is that not an admission that silver is manipulated? And it's not manipulated up, it's manipulated down. And it's done so with the approval of the CFTC. It's done so with the approval of basically the U.S. government. And I might add, what Putin is doing with gold, it's basically, it's telling the West, put your cards on the table. I'm calling your bluff to your financial systems.
Yeah, we definitely live in interesting times. And regarding conspiracy theories, you're right. I mean, it wasn't very long ago that the New York Times said that Hunter Biden's laptop was Russian propaganda.
Right.
Now they admit it's real. It wasn't long ago when those of us who warned about vaccinating your children because there's an issue with these vaccines and autism, look into it. We were called anti-vaxxers. Now they've rolled out a bioweapon that's killing people left and right, with the VAERS reporting database quantifying that, with 23,000 plus deaths in the United States alone, and the mainstream media ignores it. Now, people are waking up in droves, and I think you're right. Maybe one day we'll be proven correct that buying silver today in physical form at these prices was not only a no-brainer, it was the smartest thing you could have possibly done.
Right. And Sean, how long ago was it? It was just a few weeks ago that bioweapon labs in Ukraine was total conspiracy theory.
Right.
And now it turns out, you know, Hunter Biden was even part of funding those. I mean, it's all fact.
I know. Yep.
And one last thing, Sean, if you've noticed, the media now, obviously they've turned from COVID. If you remember, you know, a year ago when the vaccine came out, what was the slogan? Just do the right thing. And now the slogan with the media, with basically all of Washington, D.C., the slogan is, I'm with Ukraine. And I mean, I have a lot of opinions on that after reading Putin's speech before they invaded. I have a lot of opinions on that, on what's right and what's wrong. But your simple test is, if you have all of the media, if you have the Obamas, the Hillarys, the John Kerrys, the Mitt Romneys, the McConnells, all the people in Washington, and then top that off with George Soros and Klaus Schwab all on the side of Ukraine, it's a no-brainer to not be on the side of Ukraine.
Yeah, that's right. Do the opposite of what you hear the mainstream media bragging about. Whatever the mainstream media says is good, you know, is bad. They say the experimental mRNA bioweapon is safe and effective. Go grab it. Go get it. Take it down. Get as many as you can. Get your booster. Get 5 boosters. You might want to do your research and do the opposite. Just saying. All right.
Well, that's my point, is I think people should actually research. And I think the best research or best place to start would be the speech that Putin gave before the invasion. Read that whole transcript. It'll take you 10 or 15 minutes to read it. But read it fully and then go from there. And then remember what I just said about, if you've got everybody on one side of the boat, and these are all people that, I mean, I wouldn't do business with, I wouldn't trust at all. And they're all on one side. I'm on the other side.
Yeah, I'm just mesmerized by this U.S. debt clock. As we round out the conversation here, we can wrap this up, but I'm just mesmerized by this thing. Social Security liability, $21 trillion. Medicare liability, $34 trillion. U.S. unfunded liabilities, $168 trillion. But then what we do forget about is the U.S. total national assets of $190 trillion. I suppose that includes what? National parks and oil rights and water rights and everything that's good that they want to give away to these international criminal bankers in the name of UN Agenda 2030. They literally want to turn us into serfs where we own nothing, yet, according to Klaus, you'll be happy.
You know what the largest asset is for the U.S.?
What?
You ready for this? Student loans. That's the biggest asset held by the U.S.
Asset? Which is a liability.
I'm not making it up. Look it up.
Oh, good heavens. All right. Well, how do people find you? Is it jsmindset.com?
Go to jsmindset.com. And actually, I think I'll announce this on your show. Not 100% positive, but I do believe this is going to be the last year that we do it. Jim just had his 81st birthday a couple days ago. I'm tired. I mean, I've been doing this for quite a while. So I think this is going to be the last year that we do it. And we did, at the end of last year, early part of January, we've offered a compendium that goes all the way back, and every post that we've done since 2008 till about October, November of 2021, there's about 11,000 posts. And our thought process on that was, we really hope that some of these turn up 20 years from now, 50 years from now, 100 years from now, when people ask the same way we ask now, how could Germany have done what it did in the 30s? And I think people are going to be asking, how could the world have done what they did, you know, so far this century? So just understand that it's real time. It was real time reporting. And obviously, history is his story, and whoever the winner is gets to report on history. This is an accurate report of history as it was being made.
Yeah. Yeah. Documenting history. Well, that's what we've been trying to do on this channel for the past decade. And you and I used to have so many great talks.
But you got shut down.
Yeah.
You got shut down along with a bunch of other people got shut down. That's the problem. Yeah. Truth got muted. Truth got muzzled.
Well, you know, actually, that is what they say. When war breaks out, the first casualty is truth. And we've been at war for a very long time. I should say the deep state criminal government has been at war with us. And as soon as we got a little too truthy on YouTube, especially running into that last stolen election, they had to get rid of us, which is what they did on October 15th of 2020. Yeah, without cause, without warning. And then a week later, Patreon as well. Yeah, I'll tell you what, though, man. We are going to continue to have these conversations. Even if you retire from JS Mindset, I don't want you to be out of the game entirely, because it seems like you're retiring right at the most interesting moment, the inflection point in history where this whole thing falls apart.
Well, that's a year out, Sean.
You got a year? All right.
Sean, that's a year out. I would honestly be shocked if the financial system and even the internet is still up and not been taken down for some period of time. And I think that's also going to include cell phones. It will not surprise me to see the powers that be make the masses deaf, dumb, and blind.
That is one of the cards they could play. But the card they're going to play before that is an engineered food collapse. And I really think they're going to try to starve us out.
Right.
That's the next card to play. And then massive inflation. You know, ultimately, hopefully not, but hyperinflation. And then it's game over unless states step in and I think issue their own currencies, their own money. I think that's got to happen. So we'll see how it all plays out. If you guys want to check out Bill's work, head over to jsmindset.com. Bill Holter, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sean.
And friends, thanks so much for tuning in. A special thank you to our subscribe stars and our members at sgtreport.tv. Thank you for keeping us in the fight for truth and real news. And for real news every single day, visit us directly at sgtreport.com. That's the antidote to corporate propaganda. God bless you and your family. Bye-bye.
Anyone that's real, authentic, and can have an actual influence and inspire and educate will be muzzled.